100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100 word story every day until the day I die. It's right there on the domain name. Well, I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share. Because today is Sunday, which means it's your turn. I call this crazy thing the weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. That's the topic. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get rolling. First up, Mark. Let's see if I can pronounce your last name right. Settembrino. Did I get that right? Let me know. He didn't send a recording, which means, of course... All right, I'll go ahead and fire it up. Let's see. If we got all the teleprompters going, I could print this out and put it in Braille and read it with my fingers so that you wouldn't think that I have a tele... Or I could put it in an earpiece and someone could read it and I can... No. Well, let's go ahead and get right to it. Mark, welcome to the challenge. I think this is your first time. So let's roll. Let's see what we got. BK is up much earlier than usual this morning. She has much to do. She quickly downs her coffee, black, scorching hot. She loads up her bag. I can't forget the cutouts. She checks herself in the mirror and adjusts her leprechaun pin, grabs a cigarette, leaving the pack on the coffee table. She arrives at the school and takes her last drag. In her room, she begins flipping over chairs and desks, placing green paper cutout footprints all over. Her students arrive some time later. "We had a visitor last night," she greets them. "I think it was a leprechaun." "Thank you, Mark. Hey, that was a good one. Be sure to come back next week. We've got to... We keep doing these things, you know? It's just week in, week out. You know, all these people who come in and try it once, it's like, I don't know. Well, that's okay, too. And you can move on to other writing things, but just... keep writing, keep expressing, keep sharing, I guess. I don't have to guess that Thomas is going to share. Petrie. See, I got it right. Oh, man. So I've got this cheese board, and we were making avocado and brie sandwiches. I flipped the cheese board over. Yeah, I've realized. Squim. It was a gift from my parents. So... the land of cheese boards now. They got everything. I was just up in Portland a few weeks ago. I should have extended my weekend, and I know. I'm the bad son. Drinking bad coffee with good Irish cream Baileys. No green beer for me. Screw that crap. They put green in the crappiest beer ever. You know what? A decent beer resists the green. You can't see green in a Guinness. So, I'm sorry, did I... Oh, how about I just play Thomas's stories and get myself off the ledge?
St. Patrick's Day Trilogy. My Uncle Ted was a fat Irish cop in Connecticut. Every St. Pat's Day, I'd go to his house and watch Uncle Ted get drunk. He'd make up stories about St. Patrick and offer outlandish toasts as the adults at the table downed gallons of beer and whiskey. "May all of your children be born naked," was the toast I remember most of all. As I was a youngster, and anything that mentioned naked was about sex and even more titillating and obliging to my wee ears. These were the grand memories I carried into my senior years. Uncle Ted would squeeze or pinch Aunt Tina's bottom at the dining table, thinking no one would notice. But she always yelped and batted his hand away. Everyone knew what was going on. He was not the first swollen-faced boozer to use his cigar to explore a lady's anatomy. Uncle Ted always had a cigar, lit or unlit, in his mouth. and often took a bite of ham or sausage with the cigar still gripped in his teeth. He was an ox of a man, his nose crisscrossed with red veins, his eyes watery and swollen, my role model. Ted loved his cats and his girlfriend, although she spent most of the day on the couch smoking, playing with her hair, twisting the ends, and sucking on them. She was as mad as a hatter, a real nutter. Ted worked part-time doing yard work, whacking weeds, mowing lawns, trimming, pruning, and raking. With the extra money he had at the end of the week, he'd buy a wad of lotto tickets, hoping to strike it rich. He never won, but he hoped he'd strike it big. He was struck by lightning twice the day he won the mega jackpot.
Thank you, Thomas. I love the, no, wait. One, two, oh. Did you read all three? I don't know. I'll find out later. I'm just a little confused here. High production value here today. Let me just check in with the editor. There is no editor. Although, okay. Tinny, do you want to be the editor? She's over on Gina's chair across the table. Usually to a cat that's only been here a month? I'm a little out of it. Mist is on the bed. She was being all huggy cat. And then, you know, Gina started snoring. And sure enough, goes to the foot of the bed. It's like, I don't want to deal with the snoring. Neither do I. Why do you think I wake up early? So now that I've stuck both feet in my mouth, if I were a centipede, I'd have all 100, which could make me member of Jesse Jackson's family. I should just back away from the ledge and say, Bot Girl Questy, your turn.
Bruce was one of the strangest cats I've ever known. A big guy with a round face, bulging eyes, and an Abe Lincoln beard, he looked like an overstuffed giant leprechaun with a severe case of Graves' disease. Bruce claimed he was a hereditary druid priest and had been forced to flee Minnesota because of religious persecution. He loved to get drunk and wax poetic about nubile women serving as naked altars in deep woods rituals of bacchanal debauchery. He hated St. Patrick so much that March 17th was the only day of the year he stayed stone cold sober.
That's the spirit. Thank you, Bot Girl, and I'm going to stay I'm not going to stay sober. I may just polish off the Bailey's bottle. I don't have a spare Bailey's bottle. I need to get another. I think about halfway through it. That's the problem with Bailey's. The bottle is so heavy you don't know whether it's empty or full. They mess with you, man. And so you get a backup, and that's how they make their sales, I think. It's a conspiracy. If they made the bottles clear, you'd know how much there would be left. And you could plan ahead, you know, because people who drink Bailey's are planners. God, this stuff is good. I'm using up the last of the red velvet cake Valentine's coffee. Although I've got backups of that. You see, with coffee, you know how much is left. You know, the bag is very light. Or if you put it in a mason jar or something. You know, in a container, in a... What are those things called with the ones with the lids? The pickling jar? Whatever the hell it's called? I don't know. I know I need more pistachios. That's a given. Right. Who's the next story? Oh, Jeffrey Fisher? Oh, cool. Has he got two of them this time? We'll find out. Jeffrey, you have the floor. Can you mop it, please?
Hello, 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge listeners. It's Jeffrey Fisher here for this week's challenge on the topic of St. Patrick's Day. And so in honor of today's challenge, I've put down my green beer, put down a glass of Irish whiskey, and have a couple of stories for you. So, Bigora. The first one is The Color of Envy. They say green is the color of envy. But that's wrong. I say it's blue. I saw her at the bar at a St. Patrick's Day party. She was breathtakingly beautiful, and her easy laugh made my heart beat a little faster. I tried. I really did. She rebuffed my every effort to talk to her, preferring instead to stay with him. She touched his arm, giggled at his jokes. Now I'm blue. Without her, I no longer see the point in happiness. She's blue, too. Lying in the alley, beside her building, where I strangled her with her scarf. Blue. The color of envy. World domination will have to wait. Zerzek felt a meaty hand pound his back, and he spewed green beer across the bar. Damn it, I'm a galactic conqueror, not a mascot, he thought. But he was a short, green, pointy-eared alien on St. Patrick's Day, so he wasn't entirely surprised when a group of half-drunk frat boys pointed at him, stuck a leprechaun hat on his head, and dragged him to the bar as their lucky charm. At least they bought his beer, disgusting as the substance was. He glared at the offender. Do that again, buddy, and I'll blast your ass past Andromeda. That's when the crowd turned on Zerzek. No one likes a grumpy leprechaun. They picked him up, threw him on the street, and slammed the bar door shut. They even kept the hat.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Green beer, don't do it. I know you can make the foam in a Guinness green, but it takes so goddamn long to pour anyway, so just get the Guinness that's good enough. You want to make your piss green, just drink a gallon of green, whatever. Food coloring. I'm not going senile, am I? How could you tell? Right. How about I avoid that uncomfortable topic and move over to Setcha Ray? She's back. And a story. And, hold on, let's see what's on her site today. I'd lost a whole bunch of subscriptions when I moved over from Google Reader to this Feedly thing. This Arthur Feedly, or whatever the heck it is. But Google Reader is going away, so if you're subscribing to this podcast through Google Reader, move over to whatever, or follow the 100 Word Stories on Twitter, or pop it into iTunes, although the Apple app sucks for podcasts. Move to Stitcher, you know, the thing that I've got on the side. If you're using Google Play, Stitcher, I think, works with them, too. I don't know. I use the Apple Podcast app barely, because it sucks so much, and I write so much at work that I can't write while listening to stuff. So I have to listen on the way there, on the way back, but then I babble on whatever that thing is. What is that? Audioboo? I was going to say not Stitcher, and not Cinch. And Blog Talk Radio, and I get so confusing. We share so much, and yet we know so little. They came, thieves in the night. The livestock panicked, but the noise was too late for the sleepers to react. Dressed in only night clothes, the boy raced to the yard. The last things he saw, before being shoved to the ground, were his parents clinging to each other while the torches in the pack swooped around them like demons of the dark. Bound and carried off while unconscious, he awoke in the pitching, putrid darkness of what he later learned was an Irish raider's ship hold. He was no longer the son of patricians, but cargo with an uncertain future. Oh, no! Cargo? Oh, that's bad. Well, I hope they break free and raise a mutiny and then take over the ship, and then he becomes the Dread Pirate Roberts. There! Happy ending. I should do as a topic, happy ending. Although, I'm trying not to have to put the adult tag, or the explicit tag, or whatever it is now. I'm sure that they call it the naughty, naughty tag. Censorship. Do it to yourself. Don't do it to others. Although then again, there are some things that are just, come on, really? Someone who isn't come on, really, is Tour Bregianu. They shoot it to you straight, honest, and usually clean. But, you know, it's a dirty world. There could always be this time. Tura, shock us to our systems.
Well, well, what's this? A pair of hobbitses? And on this St. Paddy's night? You're a ways from Homer, you know. We don't like hobbitses around here. The leprechaun grinned evilly and spat. We don't like hobbitses anywhere. The rest of the gang stood up from the long grass, shillelaghs and hatchets drawn. The fight was quickly over. The leprechauns stripped the bodies and started a cooking fire. Elvish swords, elvish cloakpins, and a big gold ring. Looks like these were two important little hobbitses, guffawed the leader, sucking marrow out of a shin bone. Ain't so important now.
Oh my. Well, leprechauns, hobbits, I knew that they would fight one day. They're like the sharks and the jets, but instead of snapping their fingers, they're snapping shin bones and sucking out the marrow. It's a street fight. Actually, they didn't have path fight. No, but, thank you, Tura. I'm a little more loquacious than usual. Oh. You can't use loquacious, can you? Well, has anyone ever used loquacious on a Words with Friends? Can you build that loquacious? I don't know. Don't try to set it up, either. Don't waste your time. If you obsess on that kind of thing, you need help. Someone who doesn't need help, who can do it all by himself, is Muncie. What was the term that he used for us this... I need to write these down. We're not funk masters. Oh, well, I'm always a funk master. Being the master of funk, you can't unmaster it. Is there a principle for that? If it takes 10,000 hours to become a master of something, how long does it take to unmaster it? One brief moment of madness behind the wheel, I suppose.
Greetings, March Hares. Munzee here for the 100-word stories weekly challenge. I've made a promise to write and record a 100-word story a week until the day I kill Lawrence Simon. And since I haven't killed him yet, here's a story. A festive, holiday-themed story. The Reason for the Season by Christopher Monroe. And Patrick was like, "That's it! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on the motherfucking plains of Ireland," and drove them into the sea. And that's what we're celebrating. Will that be reflected in how we celebrate? Short answer, no. Long answer, no. No. Little will be said about St. Patrick. No mention will be made of snakes. Still, we'll celebrate. We'll wear green, affect fake accents, and hit Irish pubs, and fun will be had. Is this appropriate? Perhaps not, but it's what we're doing. Now get out there and drink. Shine on, faux Irish douchebags. Shine on. Broken Escalator and my flash fiction blog are both definitely things you could be reading. And I tweet at Munzee Munzee. I hope you've enjoyed my story, and I'll be back next week. Either with a new story or, if I run out of ideas, to murder the host.
I can feel the love, can't you? Now, here's a question, Muncie. Let's say that I get some horrible, debilitating disease in which I want to be released from my pain. Can I rely on you to murder me? And I wouldn't set you up in some kind of Fletch-like, Stanwyck sort of faking my death. You look about the right size and then burn your corpse in a... Well, I don't have a car. Well, I could rent a car. It's not like I'd need it long. But would you? Could I rely on you? What if I were to admit now that I have a debilitating disease that will cause great pain and suffering until the moment I am released from it? The only pain I really suffer right now is I need more coffee. Oh! If I run out of Bailey's, will you kill me? Thank you, Muncie. I knew I could trust you. Now, who will feed... Oh, wait, my wife will feed the cats. I just Keep forgetting about her. Just when you work in the mornings and I just tap the ring. Okay. Someone that I will never forget about is Lizzie. Now, whoa. Now this is going to, okay. We're definitely going to put that topic into the queue, and here's her story.
Hello. This week's story is called Unlucky 400 Leaf Clover. Yeah, because a four-leaf clover is not enough for me. Anyway, here we go. A drink or four. Then he trotted back home, his paces tic-tacking at the command of his watch. He didn't remember when he started doing that, or even when he started walking the less populated streets. At pace 400, he looked around and found a grin, one who would never grin again. He knew the police was perplexed, struggling to catch him, but this was his day, his routine, wearing some green, doing some drinking, some singing, and, to help with his headaches, some hunting. Fortunately for him, it worked. The last look on their faces wasn't as fortunate, though. This was my story for the week, and check out my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com. And perhaps check a couple of the links I have there. They'll take you to some pages where I post my texts and where other people post as well. Great texts, by the way. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
It's the beginning of an adventure. Go to her site and walk in any path. It's like a choose your adventure, but there's writing. Writing to be found, not strange mysteries and spider people and mean lightning bolts. No, it's writing. It's storytelling. That's the adventure you choose, where there is no wrong path. Well, maybe there is a wrong path if you click on the ads. Thank you, Lizzie. Unless the ads are for the writing, then it's good. Oh, about this stupid advertising crap with Second Life and My Second Life and now Marketplace, it's called Adblock. Unless, of course, Google decides that Adblock needs to be blocked. And, you know, supporting the thing that attacks their revenue stream. Just, why? Why would they give... Bastards! RSS is what gives people the power to get something automatically when it updates. I guess they don't want people to get things when they update. They want folks to search for it so that there are ads all over it. They never thought to put ads on, you know, whatever. Have they put ads on Google Plus yet? I haven't noticed them. Oh, wait, I've got ad block. Will I ever have ads on this thing? I used to. Well, I had, I was part of a network, I think, of, Certified Fresh. Fresh something. It was long ago. It was a mistake. And when I was a part of, that other one, Pajamas Media, they never cared. You know? They don't care about creative or interesting things. It's all about, you know, Atlas Jugs and all that other stuff and people trying to score points off of each other, but not really accomplish anything. Oh, well. If they can elect a pope in 2 days, wait, what difference does that make? I don't know. I know someone that does make a difference, and that's Serendipity Haven. Let's listen to them.
The week's assignment was St. Patrick's Day. Inwardly I groaned, how many phony Irish accents would this spawn? Obviously, there'd be shamrocks, leprechauns, and at least one rendering of Molly Malone over a glass or two of Guinness. With the inevitable whiskey chaser. Maybe even the odd Bailey's coffee. And would it be too much to expect not to be handed a harrowing potato famine tale or political rant about the troubles? Just for once. Not for the first time. I found myself wishing the creative writing curriculum could be a little more creative and involve a little less writing.
Thank you, Serendipity, for poking holes in the fakes and the phonies in this world. I'm not going to speak with an Irish accent. I'm not going to drink green beer. I may drink again. No, I have a Guinness in the fridge, but I'm not going to drink it. I'm going to do the Baileys, and I've got a bottle of wine. And it's not Irish, either. And I'm not going to wear green. No, I look awful with green. Green looks terrible on me. And I'm not going to say we're all Irish today, because I'm not. And Mary Robinson is an absolute anti-Semitic bitch. So, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to fucking do it. I'm me, the Irish. And all the people who want to be posers of Irish, they're welcome to do it. I'm not going to rain on their parade. Actually, it doesn't look like it's going to rain. But they can do whatever the hell they want. They can paint the water green, as long as I don't have to drink it. Because I'm sure there are chemicals in there that will cause cancer. Or all sorts of other disgusting things. Or even worse, if you bathe in it, you'll look green. Oh, wait, these people don't bathe. I don't care. I really don't. You can go celebrate whatever as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, but keep it out of my face. And don't make me stop in traffic. Don't delay folks that are trying to get done their daily lives. Oh, wait, I don't drive. There. There's my rant. I've had my rant. Well, that and the, you know, don't drink green beer. Drink a fucking Guinness if you're going to drink an Irish beer. Although, you know, now Guinness is mass manufactured and it's probably lost quality. You know, it's all. Look, if you're going to go out today and all that, just prepare to die. Because there are all these amateurs. They're going to be out there thinking, oh, the best day, she's drunk. It's Sunday, too. And so they're going to try to rush home because tomorrow's a work day. And tomorrow there are going to be people hungover and screwed up. So, you know, the drive to work is going to be interesting. Folks trying to drive on too little sleep. So, whatever. It's like the Super Bowl. Leave it to the amateurs. I should probably put a story in here. It is 100-word stories and not me ranting and, oh, occasionally a story. How about Tom? Tom has a story for us. I'm going to apologize to Tom, you know, because no one's going to listen to his story because they've already hit stop and they're going like, what the hell was up his butt? I really ought to be producing these in a thing that lets you skip over my rants.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is Kissing the Stone Twice. You may find this hard to believe, but my grandfather went to school with St. Patrick. So, of course, he wasn't a saint back then. Pat was pretty wicked with a hurling stick, and not one to pass up a pull on the water of life. Grandma says they were quite close, being sold into slavery and all. When they finally got back, it was my grandfather's idea to round up all the snakes, which worked out pretty good for both of them. Patrick converted Ireland, and my grandfather became the first man to make a fortune off of snake oil.
Yes, snake oil. What social network gurus and pod experts and social media experts all peddle these days. Maybe I should try to sell my integrity and make that a part of my shtick. No, I'm not going to. No, not going to cave in. Not happening. Thank you, Tom, for pointing that out. We have your grandfather to blame for snake oil, I suppose. I still got a bottle of it right here. Right. And how about some snake vinegar so you can have some snake oil and snake vinegar? No one ever sells snake vinegar. You ever notice that? How about snake oil filters for when you run your car? And no? Speaking of snake oil filters, does your Miata have a snake oil filter? No, but Miata Stardust has a story for you. Just made this site, and I'll try and get my podcast on there. Oh, cool. You see? Take your own stories, and don't just give them to this little oubliette on the internet, but post them on your own, too, so that people can say, oh, I don't have to listen to his stupid little rants and blurts and idiocy. I can just listen to the stories here and there. Yeah. Empower the people. Give them the choice. That's what I always say. No, I don't always say it. If I always said it, then it wouldn't be such a revelation, I suppose. From now on, I will always say that. Like Fred Rogers saying, I like you. I bet you that Fred Rogers would take one look at me and say, I'm not sure I like you. Actually, he said he liked me.
Jade handed another green beer to a customer. Happy St. Patrick's Day, she giggled. Her life of freedom, the one she had fought so hard for, was just coming back. Married to a control freak does have its advantages, she said, smiling. And when I think of one, I'll let you know. Mike was intrigued by Jade's lightheartedness to her former dilemma. He knew what she had gone through to get out. He knew she had left things she'd cherished behind, barely escaping with her life. Now her wink said it all. She was free and his.
Freedom. That's what it's all about, people. Freedom. The freedom to choose. To choose. Well, I don't know. I'm just getting wound up again. Thank you, Miata. Be sure to change your snake oil filters every 9,000 miles. Oh, do we have more stories? Yeah, got one from Ishtar. Yep, Ishtar's back, taking a break from photographering all of the Relay for Life stuff. There's the Fashion for Life going on right now with all the builds out there. And yeah, the one, you know, the thing is every artist puts in their own style on it. So the Lighthouse, yeah, Bryn, and Thoth with the kind of a 90s sort of throwback sort of, I don't know what the heck that is, but the media thing looks cool. No, I didn't buy anything there. No, I'm already perfect. I don't need fashion. I am fashion. You should be coming to me. Right, Ishtar's story. Let me give voice to it. It was St. Paddy's Day when I learned the truth. The sad man sitting at the bar, bloodshot eyes, nervous tick. He was God. So I bought him a beer. I had a plan, he said. A pinch of artistry here, a touch of heroes there, but it all went wrong. He explained creation was like baking. The right mix of ingredients, bake it at high temperature, and you get life. So what went wrong? I asked. The ingredient lid fell off. I added too many assholes. And that, kids, is the reason Grandma doesn't drink anymore. Thank you, Ishtar. If you look on my timeline on Facebook, you'll see the thing that Ishtar posted there, the cartoon that inspired it. Although I only let my friends see it. And to put it up on the 100 Word Stories Facebook, well, that takes effort. But we'll see if I bother with it. That involves more clicking. You know, I can spam it on Pinterest and Plurk and Twitter and Plus Google and... Are there any others? Oh, yeah, MySL. Pinterest? I already said that. And Empire Avenue. Yeah, last week was 30,000, and I had a limited amount. I don't know how many I'm going to do. Look, if you're on Empire Avenue and you're hearing this, you're one of the good people. Those who just read it, okay, you're reading the stories. Maybe you're going to read them aloud in the shower or at your sentencing hearing. But those who just claim it and just say, hey, I get it, hey, they were all good. Or you just pick a name out of it, hey, this one's great. And if you don't comment at all, little munchkin parasites. Why do people do that? Why are there Russian spammers? Why do birds suddenly appear every time you're near? Because you've covered yourself with birds. You should stop that. I don't think the birds like it. Next story? Yeah. Okay, so, Zach Man. Yep, it's the Zach Man. He's here with... How many does he have? Just one? Okay. I thought there were going to be 70.
Hello, I see you come in, always in the holiday spirit. You get candy on Valentine's Day, pie on March 14th, corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day, eggs and food coloring on Easter, corn chips on Cinco de Mayo, as well as turkey and yams on Thanksgiving. Do you have big St. Patrick's Day plans? Sorry to disappoint, but bit more of the spirit of frugality than a holiday spirit, since those are the times of year those things go on sale. Other than going to work after listening to some Mark Gunn, no St. Patty's Day plans.
No plans. No plans whatsoever. Don't make plans, just let life come right at you. And, oh wait, that's like life's game of chicken. Oh, thank you, Zach Man. I watched a lot of Zay Frank last week. He's an inspiration, I tell you. And he's a madman. And those eyebrows. I swear he's got eyes like Graves' disease. You know, bright, big, scary. Oh. Shouldn't make fun of that. Right. I should probably just move on to the next story. Cliff, Uncle Monster, he's here. There is no monster associated with St. Patrick's Day, but if there were, it would probably be Grimace and doing haven't done the Shamrock Shake yet. Shit, I haven't done it this year. It used to be that those went out of favor, and then they made those Shamrock Shakes to be chic and cool, part of the Mac Cafe. I used to get them when I worked downtown, because there was a McDonald's nearby. And now there isn't. Although I had the fish bites. Okay, I confess I had the fish bites. They were actually pretty good. I know they're not fish, but they were pretty good. I didn't have the tartar sauce. I don't like tartar sauce. Well, Tartar the cat, you know, who's Grumpy Cat. Okay, that's a cute kitty. Although, making a cat fly and then go to Austin and get all mugged on by thousands of people, that's cruel. Cats don't like that. And if any cat does like it, that cat's a retard. Cats don't like crowds. Cats like sleeping on the chair with their mommy. Isn't that right, Tinny? She's ignoring me, which is what a cat does. Here's Uncle Monster.
Hello, here's my story for St. Patrick's Day. And anybody of Irish descent, I apologize. Okay, it's pretty clear that he was a very important figure in spreading Christianity in Ireland.
He brought the faith to Ireland first.
Actually, historical records show that before him there were... He was first! Okay, fine, maybe he was. And I'll grant you that the legend claims he drove out all the snakes, even though there is no evidence that there were ever snakes in Ireland.
Sure there were! They were everywhere and he drove them out.
Whatever. But once and for all, St. Patrick did not invent beer.
That's a damn lie!
Oh, I give up. Again, I apologize to the people of Ireland.
No, don't apologize. They fucking deserve it. You should be writing this and sending it to everyone with... What is their country code? IE? Or something? IR is Iran. Ireland is... Oh, fuck it. Shit if I know. Thank you. Uncle Monster. You see, I pick a topic and then I grind people under heel. I've also posted the Green Bear comment on Twitter, and so I get right back from Thomas. Would you have anything against Harp? Look, Harp should be named... Sorry, asshole, we're out of Guinness. Harp is just awful. Harp, you know, Guinness they get from the river, Harp they get from the sewer. It's just lousy. And I know the river is probably tainted and disgusting, too. And, you know, the sewer, as long as they, you know, filter it out effectively, there are only some parasites to get through. Irish parasites. we don't want to go down that road now, do we? Look at the EU. Whoa, it's really getting nasty this week. I should just back away and let Dondo Dollinger take over. Dondo, tell us a story. Oh my god! Did he record it? Oh, sweet.
St. Patrick's Day Pub. The Guinness was ready, and shamrocks were placed everywhere. Billy had his tacky, bright green leprechaun suit dry-cleaned and ready for the weekend. Business was really tough lately. The regulars were dying of liver failure, or getting healthy, and drinking less, and Billy's country bar was really struggling. But a couple years ago, he had a brilliant idea. He changed the whole bar into an Irish pub for 1 week of the year, when all of the cowboys claimed to be from the Emerald Isle. Billy was making enough in that 1 week to stay afloat for the rest of the year. This year, he even hired a ginger.
That really is a brilliant idea. We should do that. We should just jump on every trend, and every Valentine's Day we should say it's a Cupid's Day where people are firing arrows all over the place. And on Christmas, have a live birth, and then the baby placed in a manger. And on Thanksgiving, we should have pilgrims being nice to Indians, and the next day have them massacre them. The pilgrims massacring the... Well, everyone can massacre each other. We're open to those kind of things. And on Easter's, force a bunny rabbit to lay an egg. That'll be painful. And Lincoln's birthday, chopping down a tree, or I don't know. It's all mixed up in my head. There should be a holiday every weekend, or at least a theme so that marketing can take over our country. And instead of months, they're history months. Black History Month, Green History Month, Women's History Month, Hispanic History Month, and just, we would no longer call them April and May and June. And then, you know, maybe every few years we sell the naming rights, but they would have to be, like, in blocks of 5 years, because, you know, you would, at least people could get consistent, get a pattern. Oh, whoa, it's changed this year, you know? It would be hard to write them on checks, but no one writes checks anymore, so that's okay. Oh, wait, this was the whole point of Infinite Jest, wasn't it? Holy crap. I hate David Foster Wallace. I hate what he did in that book, because he jumped around, it was so confusing. And I, well, if you were so smart, you'd be able to figure out. Yeah, well, if you package something in a puzzle, don't be fucking surprised if some people just throw it away. I slogged through that whole thing for almost a year. When I finally got to the end, and I was like, oh yeah, I've been flipping through the footnotes. My God. I know that there are other books that are more approachable that he's written, but I'm not going to read them. Because that one, I started with that. It's like, no, you're supposed to work your way up to that. Well, no one put that on the cover. You should work your way up through his other novels before you try this one. You should try other little mountains before climbing Everest. Well, thank you. Thank you for not putting a warning label on it. We put warning labels on things saying, oh, there are bad words in here. They might affect your children. But with David Foster Wallace, they don't say, this novel is fucking impossible to read. Maybe you should practice over here. I know that they don't tell you, hey, don't lift this 500-pound rock. You should start with little rocks first. Great. Another rant. Here's Norval Joe, before you've completely lost interest in this podcast, I apologize to all the storytellers this week. I've really, really got a bug up my ass.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and the Master of Macabre 2012. Remember the Master of Macabre Challenge for 2013. Check it out at horroraddicts.net. Well, here's my entry for the weekly challenge, number 360, with the prompt of Stuff to Do with St. Patrick's Day. Here we go. We'll orbit for an hour while the drive and our internal organs neutralize. Then we'll descend to the planet, Borrell said, reclining his chair. How can you tell if our internal organs have been transferred? Flaherty asked. Do you have gas? Yeah, so? I don't. anymore, Boral giggled. The planet's completely green, Flirty said, changing the subject. How do you know there will be fish there? The planet's named O'Gilliham, terraformed 500 years ago by Patrick O'Carroll, a displaced Irish potato farmer. The green of the planet comes from all the plants. That many plants need lots of water. Durgle wrapped Long John Silver in a towel and dabbed hydrogen peroxide on a festering wound on the dog's side. The old dog squirmed at first, but soon was fast asleep inside the towel. He had cut himself the week before while escaping his kennel to frolic among the females. Durgle had a silly thought. While the dog slept, he saturated its coat with peroxide. He didn't want to hurt the wiener dog, so he avoided the eyes, mouth, and tail. After 15 minutes with green food coloring, Durgle decided Long John looked more like a zombie than a leprechaun. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Okay, so thank you, Narwhal Joe. And if I were a spiteful and angry person, I would say, hey, Horror Addicts used to play my stuff, but then they got too good for me. And then, you know, they kicked me to the curb. And no, that's not what I'm going to say. Instead, I'm going to say, join the Masters of Macabre. Now, I don't write macabre. You can't build up a sense of horror and doom in only 100 words. But if you can, you truly are a master of the macabre. I'm not a master. Not me. No, I'm not good enough. But I will raise awareness of it by dancing. No, join the Masters of Macabre. And if you're a poser and you can't write that kind of stuff like I am, well, no, they can't write like me. No, can't write like I am would be and to think I'm a professional writer. Another story? Okay. I don't have Orchid here telling me story. Here's Singh and his stories.
The St. Patrick's Day Curse by Chris Mooney Singh. I've heard the pilgrimage story 100 times in our local Melbourne pub, looking into my glass darkly filled with Guinness as Dad tells his tale again. Lionel and Liam, our long-gone great-grand-uncles, decided to make pilgrimage to Old Man Wise in the woods. On reaching Flanagan's Fork, Lionel looked left and saw the house of Tara, the beauty who lived on the hill. Liam, I'll meet you here on your way back. We'll go to together tomorrow, lad. With that, he made haste for the prostitute, leaving Liam to pilgrimage on alone to Old Man Wise's campfire. The next day at Flanagan's Fork, Lionel again got that itch in his trousers for the flaming redhead. I'm off to Tara's, lad. I'll be waiting here for you. Liam, the serious younger brother, continued on to Old Man Wise. He sat, listened, then returned, stepping on a blackthorn branch, puncturing his foot. He limped shoeless back to the crossroads. There, waiting, Lionel, in high spirits, kicked a rock and uncovered a gold coin with the bust of Charles II on one side and the Irish cross on the other. Woohoo! Well, wouldn't you know it? Lady Luck is smiling on me. On the third day, Liam dragged Lionel past Tara's infamous house onto Old Man Wise. He couldn't understand how his brother, who'd visited the prostitute twice, had found a gold coin while he, the faithful pilgrim, had only earned a thorn in the foot for his troubles. What was God playing at? Old Man Wise smiled. Well, Lionel was to find a pot of gold, he said. But because of his trouser hunger, found but a single coin, while you, Leo, destined to be mauled by a wolf, changed your fate to a thorn prick due to your pilgrim piety. My father tells this tale every year. Inevitably, someone asks, what happened to the two brothers? And this is where I get really uncomfortable with all this family fable stuff. Liam's pilgrim piety hardened into pride, Dad says. Whereas after Lionel realized his foolish loss, he repented his loose ways. Dad goes on. Well, the brothers migrated here in 1882 and took up horse breaking for a living. This is where I get up to go and relieve myself, but Dad, noticing me skipping out on his story, orders, bring a fresh round, will you, son? We'll wait until you get back. Returning, I plunk the Guinness pints down. Dad continues. One day, Liam boasted he'd tamed the lead Brumby brought in from the mountains, but the stallion threw him and the fool broke his bloody neck. Yeah, yeah, pride takes a fall, Dad. Son, you think life's different nowadays? I named you Liam Lionel Fogarty for a reason.
It's like a family curse.
Well, we've all got a Liam and a Lionel inside. Which one rules you, son?
So speaks dear old Dad, who has become Old Man Wise. With that, he raises a dark glass to toast the ancestors and my future.
Thank you, Singh. No truer words have ever been spoken. Well, I'm sure there have. I'm just sucking up to you. Probably. I need more coffee. She didn't get any popcorn. I know she likes popcorn, but, you know, doesn't make it. I'm the one who usually makes it. I should not be making it because even though it is fiber, I should not be doing it because it gets caught in my teeth and... Although I'm better about cleaning my teeth, you know, too little, too late. They're still in there. The ones that are still in there, mind you. It's a long story. A dentist once said something really, really horribly nasty to me, and it got to the point where I took it as an insult. And, well, 10 years went by. Yeah, that was a fun time. I had a dream, though. I had a dream where I was talking to the dentist, and they said, oh... You've turned things around. Congratulations. And then they punched me in the face. Someone that won't punch you in the face is Lola. She would give you the shirt off her back. She is that kind. But then, you know, then we would have to talk about, you know, setting the explicit tag because how about I just play the story for you? No recording. What happened to Brocaley and all the... They suck up to you, and then they kick you to the dirt, don't they? That's what I do to people. So, coming to you live from the dirt, me reading the Lola story by Red Goddess. Hotels are the perfect refuge for people who can't say no to temptations. Every corner you turn... There is a substance that Lola should avoid. There are leftover glazed donuts and stale chips in the cafeteria. Cake in the dining room for a staff birthday who's not even working today. Her manager has liquor hidden in plain sight in her desk. Standing in the lobby, wearing a green scarf, wishing guests, saying, happy Patty's day is her best escape. Let's pretend all is jolly while she rewinds her worries in silence. Some people don't need an occasion to misbehave under the influence. The bar will be packed with countless lost souls for happy hour. She will leave on the dot tonight. She has zero tolerance for privileged drunks with an axe to grind. While she rewinds her worries in silence. Wow. Wow. That, dude, that, yes. That phrase. Phrase of the week. Other than Muncie offering to kill me. Which, I'm going to hold you to that, Muncie. I'm going to hold you to that. Oh. But will you kill Planet Z, too? Because if I go, someone else will take over the podcast, and then, you know, you're going to keep getting missives from Planet Z. So, speaking of which, here's one. Here's one from Planet Z.
St. Patrick drove all the snakes out of Ireland? Bullshit. He never drove snakes anywhere. In fact, he carried a sack of snakes with him everywhere. He gave them out to kids like Rockefeller handed out nickels and dimes. Kids love snakes. They crawl over their shoulders and along their arms and eat mice. Well, okay, they love the crawly, non-bitey snakes. Nobody likes the bitey ones. Even when they're non-poisonous, the bites still suck. Maybe St. Patrick got mixed up and gave away a poisonous snake or two. No wonder why they martyred the son of a bitch.
Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedaymuncykillsme.com for links to authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. If this show inspired you to write on the topic of St. Patrick's Day, send in the story with a recording, and I'll add it to the main feed all by its lonesome. Or if you're running really late, like apparently Justin is. I bet you I'm going to get an email. Hi, Justin! Okay, until next week, where the topic will be... What is it? Oh, border! I actually had to look that one up. I produce the topic ones in advance, like a few weeks, but that's so that I have a bunch of the ones, and hopefully I'll get a bunch of those produced in advance. Like the stories? I'm writing January 2015. So, oh God, I got sidetracked. Go back to the script. Until next week, where the topic will be border, this is Lauren Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.